Welcome to the service of Whitesburg Baptist Church. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May this message be a blessing to you, challenge you, so that you will live for the glory of God. God bless you.
One of the several unique things about the Gospel of John is that he gives over almost half of his gospel to 1 week in the life of Jesus. If you'll go back and check sometime, beginning in chapter 12, verse 1, and all the way to the end of chapter 21, John is talking about the last week. We call it the Passion Week sometime. And somehow the Holy Spirit guided him to zero in out of 33 years on that one particular week in the life of Jesus. So beginning in chapter 12, on to the end, we find him focusing on that 1 week in the life of Jesus. Another thing about this passage is to understand what's going on here. Remember, the disciples were just normal, ordinary human beings like you and I, and they had left everything for 3 years to follow Jesus. They've listened to the parables, they've seen the miracles, they've even seen him 3 times raise the dead back to life again. Their whole life has been wrapped up in him, as ours should be. They think he's the Messiah, the promised one. And earlier in this section of John, he tells them the devastating news. He's going to Jerusalem and die. They're devastated. They're overwhelmed. Their life tumbles in. And in John 14, 15, and 16, what we're going to be looking at chapter 15 this morning, Jesus is talking to them about how they can make it after he's gone back to heaven. And therefore, how you and I can make it in living the Christian life in a world in which it's not easy to do. In fact, at the end of this, in chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have trouble," or tribulation. So Jesus is painting a true picture for them. But he's telling them in chapter 14, 15, and 16 how they can be effective in living the Christian life after his death on the cross. Now follow with me, if you will, in your Bible, a part of what he says to them. And here in chapter 15, we come to the seventh I am saying of Jesus. You remember, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life. Now the last one, I am the true vine. Look beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is, the King James says, the vine dresser, the husbandman. He is the farmer. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the true vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now look at that next phrase. For without me, you can do, say that next word. Louder. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth of the branch and withered. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so I've loved you. Continue ye in my word. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is the first time in the Gospel of John the word joy is found. Right here in the midst of talking about his death, he says, my joy, your joy will be full. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known to you. You've not chosen me, he said, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask in my name of the Father, he may give it to you. These things have I spoken unto you, that you love one another. The sincere desire of every genuine Christian, as many of us are, is to be an effective Christian. You know that? I know that. Most of us here this morning would say, Brother Charles, that's my desire. I want to be an effective Christian. And yet, in our more honest moments, many of us would acknowledge on July the 15th, 2018, we feel anything but effective in living the Christian life. We want to be effective, but we would be the first to acknowledge we're not effective. And what I want you to see here in this passage this morning are five keys to effective Christian living. When you get these five things that Jesus plainly taught his disciples in mind, they will equip and enable us to be far different than what many of us have been in living the Christian life. Because you see, to many people, what it means to be a Christian is you get up, you pay your debts, you go to church, you read your Bible, you say your prayers, and you go about your life 6 days a week, unaffected and unchanged by what's in the Bible. That's not effectiveness in Christian living. And we need to get some negative things out of our mind before we look at the positive. Remember this. Effectiveness in Christian living is not automatic. That you just become a Christian, you walk the aisle, you commit yourself, and you're baptized, and automatically, bingo, you're a defective Christian. Never does that happen. Maybe you can remember it this way. Disciples are made, not born. No one has ever been born a disciple. It takes time to become a mature Christian. It takes time to learn these things that we're reading here in John 15, and it doesn't come automatically with the Christian faith. And the other thing we need to get out of our mind is that it's reserved for just a few people, and that God in heaven, who loves everybody, but then he picks out a few of us and said, okay, I want you to be effective, and I want you to be effective, and you're going to be effective, and the rest of you get by the best way you can. That makes as much sense as for you to say, I want one or two of my children to be successful, but I don't care about the rest of them. No, we want all of them to be what God put them in this world to be. And God wants every one of us, every one of us. You may think nobody knows your name this morning. I want to tell you, God has the hairs of your head numbered. Now, for some of us, that wouldn't be very much. But he also knows the hurts of our heart. He knows everything about us. And he wants you and myself to be effective in Christian living. But it's not just automatic. It's not just reserved for a few. Then I can hear some of you say, well, preacher, I know what you're fixing to say. You're fixing to say, you've got to be sincere. Now, I believe that with all my heart. Sincerity is important. But sometimes we hear people give just a simple answer. The way to be an effective Christian is you've got to be sincere. Now, hear me carefully. The only thing wrong with that is it's wrong. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. This afternoon, after we get through with our services here, and I'll be headed back to Birmingham. My wife's gone this afternoon. I sincerely have prayed. I've sincerely read the Bible. I've sincerely come to church. I'm sincerely doing the best I can to preach a sermon to you. I'll sincerely try to drive safely. I sincerely drive in my driveway. I sincerely walk up to my door, and I sincerely take the handle, and it's locked. Unless I have the what? Say it out loud.
Key.
Louder.
Key.
Key. I don't care how sincere I am, I'm not going to get in that door. Amen? Now, I'm using that to illustrate sincerity is important, but you can be sincere and not be an effective Christian. I appreciate your desire to be sincere. I want you to be sincere, but sincerity alone is not going to make us effective. So you say, well, Charles, what is it? Well, here it is. It's clear as I know anywhere in the New Testament, a passage that tells us keys to being effective Christian living. Here it is. Number one, the key to effective Christian living is fruit bearing. Notice in this passage, if you counted it or mark it in your Bible, or just take my word for it, 8 different times in this passage, Jesus talks about fruit. F-R-U-I-T. When you get home, check me out. 8 times he said, when we repeat something that many times, what are we doing? We're emphasizing. And so one of the key things Jesus is emphasizing here is fruit. The key to effectiveness in Christian living is fruit bearing. And if Jesus said it 8 times in 17 verses, he must have meant us to take it to heart. Now, I can hear some of you saying, I know what you're fixing to say, preacher. The fruit, I've heard it all my life. Fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Well, the only thing wrong with that is that's not what I'm fixing to say. The fruit of a Christian is not necessarily another Christian. If that were so, after the invitation is given this morning, dozens of people be walking this aisle expressing their faith in Christ. Most of the time, that's not the way it is. No, I believe in that, but we're leaving out a dimension. Go back to the natural realm that Jesus was using here. He was using the vines of that day and time and using that as a picture of life. Let's bring it into Alabama. Go down to Chilton County. My wife's a native of Chilton County. I've seen what I'm telling you many times. If you plant a peach seed where the peach capital of the world, peach trees are in bloom all over that county. I was there a few weeks ago. You plant a peach seed in the ground, up grows a peach? No. Up grows a peach what? Tree. And from that tree, there are branches. And from those branches, there are buds. And from those buds, there are delicious peaches, but if you'll truncate the tree, you don't have any peaches. You who grew up on a farm know. Plant a kernel of corn in the ground, up grows what? No, not a corn tree. up grows a corn stalk, and from that stalk there come ears of corn. Now, all I'm saying in that simple homespun illustration is Jesus is saying to us that the fruit of a Christian is not necessarily just another Christian any more than the fruit of a peach seed is another peach. It's not. The fruit of a peach seed is a peach tree, and from that tree, God produces peaches. The fruit of the Christian life is Christ himself reproducing himself in our hearts and lives. It's what Paul meant when he said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ lives where? In me. We call it the person and power of the Holy Spirit. But if you truncate that, no wonder we're not effective in Christian witness and Christian living. You cannot bear fruit until Christ reproduces his life through the power of the Holy Spirit in the way we think, the way we act, the way we talk, and our value system. So the fruit of a Christian is not just automatically another Christian. It is Christ reproducing his life in us. But quickly, look at the second thing. The key to effectiveness in Christian living is fruit bearing. The key to fruit bearing is abiding in him. I mentioned a moment ago, 8 times he uses the word for fruit, more times. 11 times in these 17 verses, Jesus used the word abide. Now, in the King James, we miss that sometimes. Sometimes in the King James, it's translated remain, sometimes abide, sometimes continue. One word in the language of the New Testament, M-E-N-O, and it always means the same thing. Whether you prefer the word abide or remain or continue, he's talking about the key to fruit bearing is abiding in him. Just like the peach bud must abide in the tree and the grace must abide in the vine, the Christian must abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I must say, all my Christian life as a young person growing up in church, I used to hear older Christians talk about abiding in Christ, abiding in the Lord. We even sing the song, Abide in Me. Abiding in him, abiding in him. The deeper spiritual life people would oftentimes talk about abiding in Christ. What do you mean? I'm not asking for some theological definition. Let me put it in words anybody can understand. Abiding in Christ means simply this, that day after day after day after day after day and week after week after week after week and month after month after month and year after year after year, I live in fellowship with the living Lord. If that's not there, you don't have any abiding. If it is there, whoever you are, whatever your age, whatever your circumstance, whatever your lot in life, that's the key to abiding in him. It's living daily in fellowship with him. I can't do that in my own strength. You can't either. That's why God gave us the person of the Holy Spirit to be inside us and to bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, temperance, and all these things in Galatians 5:22. But the key to abiding in him, to bearing fruit for him, is abiding in him. Now, if you want to be an effective Christian, then just daily live in fellowship with the Lord. That's what I say sometimes, the key to a happy marriage is daily living in fellowship with one another. And those of you who've been married any length of time know what I'm talking about. The good days, the bad days, the happy days, the sad days. You just day after day, year after year, you live in fellowship with your mate. And in the Christian life, day after day after day, that's what abiding in him means. You know what I'm talking about? The peach doesn't just pop off the tree for a month or so and say, then he comes back, wants to be a peach. No, you can't do that. You can't do it in the Holy Land where he was talking about the vine, the grapes on the vines. No. You can't see a grape just popping off the vine and come back every month or two and check in. No. That reminds me of some people I've asked at times as I've tried to witness. How long have you been a Christian? Oh, off and on for the last 20 years. Now, we laugh at that. But that's the way some people take the Christian life. On again, off again, on again, off again. It's not that way, dear friend. When God came into our heart, he gave us eternal life, and it never ends. And our relationship and our love for him ought to never end. That may wane, and we may have good days and bad days. I do understand that. I'm not saying to become a Christian, you've got to become perfect. But I am saying that you have to be perfectly committed to him. And that leads us to the next thing. The key to effectiveness in Christian living is fruit bearing. The key to fruit bearing is abiding in him. The key to abiding in him, look at verse 9, 10, and 14, is obeying him. He says, keep my commandments. Do what I tell you to do. The key to abiding in him is obeying him. Now, don't sit there and think I'm going to give you a lot of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. I'm not. That's not what the Christian life is all about. Oh, I have things in my life I don't do, and I have things I try to do. But that's not what makes me a Christian. You see, the things that makes us in the matter of obedience, it's a matter of doing what he says do. Abide in me, he says. Keep my commandments. Love one another. These are not suggestions he gives. These are commands that he gives us. And he intends for us to do what he says to do if we're going to obey him. Now, let me give you what I consider to be the heart of the Christian faith. Maybe sometime in the next few weeks we can look at just this topic. If you ask me to say in one sentence, really three words, what it means to be a Christian. Now, you think with me a moment. What does it mean to be a Christian? To me, it's summed up in these three words. Jesus is Lord. Say those three words with me. Jesus is Lord. One more time. Jesus is Lord. Now, when you say that, to me, you've said the heart of the Christian faith. Now, there's many other dimensions to it, but if he is my Lord, my master, my boss, then he is the center of my life, your life. And that's a part of what it means to be an effective Christian, is that we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And not that we're just, all right, preacher, if I have to go to church, I'll show up. Or if I have to give my tithe, I'll give it. That makes as much sense as it being your wife's birthday and you come in and say, well, old lady, here's a birthday card. I paid $1 for it. I hope you're happy. Somebody will say, that's about what I got, Brother Charles. Look, we don't give birthday gifts and birthday cards. Just check something off. We do it because we love them, because they're important to us. And obeying Christ is not like a dose of bad medicine. Jesus Christ is not trying to bore the heaven out of your life. He's trying to give you life, and vital life, abundant life. And he says, a key to abiding in me day after day after day is obeying me, which means, in biblical language, living continually under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That is the key word in the Bible for Jesus. Not Savior, not Messiah, not King. He is Lord. And when I've said that, I've said what it means to be a Christian. If he's not Lord, I'm not a Christian. That's why we quote sometime Romans 10:9-10, that if you'll confess with your mouth, Jesus is what? Lord. And believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Say it. Saved. So what I'm saying is the key to abiding in him is obeying him. Quickly, the key to obeying him is loving him. Look at what he says here in these verses, verse 9, verse 12, verse 13. He says, we're to love one another as I've loved you. What kind of love does Christ have for us? It's unconditional love. It's love that keeps on loving. It's not I love you when or I love you if. It's I love you, period. He says that's the way we're to love one another. We're to love the Lord with all our heart, but we're also to love the guy on the pew with us in church on Sunday morning. Now, you may not like him or her. We're still to love them. You see, sometime you love people not because of what's in them, but who's in you. And when Jesus Christ is living in our hearts, he equips and enables us to love even people who are unlovely. And the key to obeying him is loving him. I hope you're understanding what Jesus is saying here. This is so vitally important. One more thing before we close. The key to loving him is the last key, knowing him. Look in verse 15. Jesus says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you, and I've made him known to you." Once you know him, you love him. You know what I'm talking about? Some people, you know what I'm talking about. The more you get to know them, the more you love them. I hope you understand that. Let me put it in language you can understand. You remember when Brother Jimmy came to be your pastor in 1978? Or you remember Brother Dick came in 1966? Some of you looked at him and said, "He's not our kind of guy." You didn't know him. And the more you got to know him, and especially the more you got to know Lois, the more you loved him. Brother Jimmy and Bobby, 40 years. I don't know any church anywhere your size that's had two staff members who've been here 40 years. And the more you've gotten to know them, the more you've gotten to love them. Amen? Amen. I say that to illustrate to you, the same thing is true. The more we've gotten to know the Lord, the more we love him. And I hope this morning, if you do not know him, you'll recognize, I'm not talking about intellectual knowledge, I'm talking about knowing him in your heart where it counts. We say to people sometimes, "I love you with all my heart." When you become a Christian, you give your heart to the Lord Jesus, not the organ itself. The heart's the center of your life. If it stops beating very long, you're dead. And when we know someone, the more we know them, the more we love them. And with the Lord Jesus, it's more that way than ever. He says, "I've made the Father known to you." You see, I couldn't know God had it not been through Jesus Christ. What did he say in John 14:6? "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." The only way anyone, anywhere can ever know God is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a sermon that works frontward and backward. I've given to you frontward because that's the way it comes in the text. But you can look at it in reverse. To know him is to love him. To love him is to obey him. To obey him is to abide in him. To abide in him is to bear fruit for him. And to bear fruit for him is to be an effective Christian. Does that make sense? Then remember this. Effectiveness in Christian living is a choice. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can become one today. Instantly. Discipleship is a process, but salvation is an instantaneous event. And right here, you can accept him into your heart as Lord. And he will accept you as you are, just like you are. And you can walk this aisle and make it public.